Chapter 1, October 27th, 1861, Springfield, Missouri. "We've got him on the run, men! Keep after him!" the sergeant yelled to the battle-weary Union soldiers under his command. On a warm October day, Major General John Fremont's regiment encountered Confederate forces retreating south. The Union soldiers, marching toward Springfield in the early days of the war, were surprised by the enemy. The Rebs dug in, taking a stand on the hilly terrain. Private Charlie Ward was among the Union soldiers, but Charlie focused on another soldier in the unit. Charlie's brother, Max Ward, was at the front of the advancing troops. "Stay low, Max," Charlie whispered, but Max didn't hear his sibling's warning. He concentrated on the Confederates who were returning fire from a nearby hill. Max, the youngest of the three Ward children, grew up hunting grouse, turkeys, and the occasional deer on the family farm near St. Joseph, Missouri. Even though he was only 17 when he enlisted, the Army of the West welcomed the tall, lanky farm boy without question. Charlotte, actually, had followed Max into the Army with the intent of watching over her little brother. Of course, her fellow comrades did not realize that Charlie was, in fact, a woman. Charlotte found it wasn't difficult to pass as a man. Like her brother, Charlotte was tall and slim. She had chopped off her chestnut-colored hair without a second thought. Vanity was not part of Charlotte's character. She didn't possess a curvy figure like her younger sister Elizabeth. What she did possess was a single-minded determination to protect those whom she loved. Now that single-mindedness was focused on her brother. Max was in the vanguard of the Union Army. He and his unit led the charge and took most of the enemy fire. The Rebs were retreating, but giving the Yanks a run for their money. As Charlie watched the firefight, it reminded her of a dance. The two sides would move forward, then scramble back. The back-and-forth movement was punctuated with rebel yells. The Union soldiers were not as vocal, but they did call out encouragement to their comrades. "Good work, Elijah!" called the company sergeant. "Keep it up, Joe! Shake it off, Max!" That got Charlie's attention. Max? Her brother Max! Charlie spotted her brother lying on the ground after the troops continued to advance. He wasn't moving. That got Charlie moving. Crawling on her belly, Charlie Ward made her way through the rank and file of the soldiers behind the lines. Her goal was the front line, where she could see her brother lying motionless. Despite the deafening sounds of battle, both rifles and cannon fire, Charlie kept her eye on her brother. Now the Union soldiers were moving forward, chasing the Confederates over a distant hill. Max remained where he was, but Charlie was relieved to see her brother only grasping his thigh. "That's a good sign," Charlie told herself. "He's not dead. That's good. I can help him." Finally, she was able to reach the battleground where her brother lay on the blood-stained ground. "Max! Max! It's me, Charlotte," she said softly into her brother's ear.
"Char, you can't be here."
His sister's face loomed over his. "Don't tell me what I can and cannot do, brother. And since we're talking about who can and can't be here, you were still 17 years old the last time I checked. I came here to bring you home. It took a while for me to find you. Let's not fight right now. There's been enough fighting here today. I can see that you're bleeding. Looks like it's your right leg."
"It hurts, Char. It hurts."
"Let's get you back to the hospital tent. Can you use your other leg?"
"I think so."
Charlotte helped Max stand, and he swung his right arm over Charlotte's shoulder. With the battle still raging, they made their way through the dead and dying soldiers that littered the battlefield. Arriving at the field hospital, Charlotte called for a doctor to attend her brother. While they waited, Charlotte ripped open the leg of Max's uniform pants. She probed the wound and could tell that the mini ball was still in Max's leg. Patiently, Charlotte waited for an army doctor to examine her brother. But the doctors were pulled in too many directions. Initial assessment determined that Max's wounds were not life-threatening, so he would have to wait. Charlotte watched as the surgeons amputated arms and legs. She was determined that would not be her brother's fate. As night fell and the flow of wounded men did not subside, Charlotte took matters into her own hands, literally. Spotting a tray of medical instruments, She laid Max flat on a cot and went to work.
This is gonna hurt, but I can't find any laudanum.
I'm sorry for that.
You can bite on this stick. That might help some.
He nodded and put the stick between his teeth. Charlotte rinsed the wound in whiskey and Max groaned.
Yell if you have to. Nobody'll notice,
she told her brother.
Surveying the surgical tools, Charlotte selected a thin, pointed instrument to probe for the mini ball.
After some digging, she found it lodged in her brother's upper thigh. The wound had since stopped bleeding, so she didn't think it had struck a blood vessel.
We're making progress, Max,
she assured her patient.
Now I just need to remove the ball without doing more damage.
For that procedure, Charlotte reached for the forceps on the tray.
This would work better.
An army surgeon handed Charlotte an extractor made specifically for removing the mini balls.
Even though she was shaken that she had an audience, Charlotte didn't take her eyes off the open wound.
She took the preferred instrument and caught the mini ball.
Carefully, Charlotte removed the ball from Max's thigh. The metal ball made a clang as she dropped it onto the surgical tray.
Nicely done, doctor.
The army surgeon waited for a name.
I'm not a doctor, but it seemed like everyone else here was busy and my brother needed help.
She saluted the surgeon.
Private Ward, sir. Charlie Ward.
We don't stand on formalities here, Ward. I'm Dr. Bernard, a colonel by rank, but you can call me Thomas.
He nodded to Max's leg.
Go ahead and close it, then we'll talk.
Charlotte nodded and proceeded to suture the wound with a needle and thread she found on the tray. While she focused on stitching the wound, Charlotte gathered her thoughts. She wondered if she'd been discovered.
Now what?
Thomas brought over a bottle of laudanum and a spoon.
Here, give him a spoonful of this. It'll help him rest. That's all we can do now. That and watch for infection. We're losing more boys to infection and dysentery than we are to rebel bullets.
The surgeon shook his head in disgust. Dr. Bernard examined Max's leg.
That was a nice piece of doctoring you did there, Charlie. You've had experience.
I took care of my ma when she was sick after my baby sister died in childbirth. When my pa got kicked in the head by a mule, I tended to him. My doctoring, as you call it, didn't do much to save either of them, but I learned some of the basics. Growing up on the farm, I fixed a few broken bones and stitched up bad cuts.
You have a talent for it, Charlie. Would you like to work in the hospital tent? We could use another set of hands.
I could watch over my brother?
That would be part of your duties, Charlie.
You can count on me.
I'll warn you, it's long hours and hard work,
Thomas said.
So is soldiering, but there aren't so many bullets flying around in here. I'll need reassignment orders to show my sergeant.
Dr. Bernard scribbled something on a scrap of paper.
If he has a problem with it, send him to me.
Thank you again.
With that, Dr. Bernard left to attend to other wounded soldiers. Charlotte sat by Max's cot, relieved that she'd found her brother and that they were both away from the front lines of battle, for now.
Charlotte was exhausted.
While she watched over her brother, she recalled the day she discovered that Max had joined the army. That was the day that changed the course of her life. After Action Report, Battle of Carthage, July 5th, 1861. The Battle of Carthage gave Missouri its first taste of war. Union Colonel Franz Sigel's force of 1,100 men attacked a larger contingent but poorly armed Missouri militia led by the state's governor, Claiborne Jackson. The battle culminated with a firefight in the Carthage town square. Although Jackson's men did not dislodge Sigel's force, the Union troops retreated that evening. The battle buoyed Confederate hopes in Missouri.